Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Legalized marijuana is always a very difficult question.
The time is long overdue for us to remove the federal prohibition on marijuana.
From now on, I smoke weed exclusively with white people.
Well, I'm getting high and excited.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man, the Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
There's definitely cannabis in there, and it makes sure that I can sleep now.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Don't piss off your old dealer.
Marijuana is not the kind of thing that ought to be legalized.
I know you're not supposed to admit that you smoke pot. I don't drink alcohol.
Let's get out of here. I have some really good weed back at the hotel.
I used to smoke marijuana.
I don't care if an adult wants to smoke marijuana. They shouldn't go to prison for it either.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio. Radical Russ here, live from Delta 9 Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. All sorts of stuff to talk about in this second hour. I'm going to tell you about Trump's Secretary of Health and Human Services flat out ignoring questions about medical cannabis. We're going to give you a roundup of all of the states with pending reform measures in our first segment. Talk a little bit about bringing minorities into the cannabis industry. And we heard from Kevin Sabet there in the intro, Project Sam has finally hired their first paid lobbyist, state senator out of the state of Rhode Island. We'll talk about that in our second segment. Also, in the third segment, an Oregon marijuana company is sponsoring some X Games athletes. We're breaking into the mainstream. That's pretty cool. And we'll wind things up with talks about premarital drug testing for the country of Saudi Arabia. If you want to marry a Saudi Arabian woman, you're going to have to take a drug test. Okay, well, before we get to all that, though, I did want to bring up this great story Tom Angel has up on Massroots. He's now blogging at Massroots. He's the political editor, I guess. And his latest piece is called White House Denies Marijuana News Report. And I love this because it calls out some fake news. This, the whole fake news phenomenon, of course, was part of the 2016 election. You know, the Pope backs Trump and all that kind of, BS that was floating around. And it's been a kind of a phenomenon people have talked about because we have all these social media networks. We have Facebook. We share this information. And many times the information is just flat out false. So Tom Angel has called out a piece of fake news in the marijuana movement. The Joint Blog is a website. The editor out there is Anthony Martinelli. And they published a piece that claimed that White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer told its D.C.-based reporter Rebecca Bryan that it is unlikely the Trump administration will go after state cannabis laws. Now, I got this passed to me many times through my Facebook, and because I'm on Facebook all the time arguing with people that are, that have the rose-colored glasses with respect to the oncoming Trump drug war. And, it was one of those I told you, so see, Russ, see, they're not going to go after state cannabis laws. Well, Tom Angel is kind of like me. He looks shit up and he calls people and he gets backing on this because he thought that the report in the Joint Blog was kind of poorly sourced. So he reached out to Sean Spicer. He actually sent an email out to the White House press secretary asking about the quote. Mr. Spicer, I'm a journalist working on the story about the problem of fake marijuana news, blah, blah, blah. Spicer says, quote, I have no clue where that came from, end quote. And as he tried to further research the story, Angel found that there is no Rebecca Bryan. It's an interesting spelling, R-E-B-E-C-K-A, Rebecca Bryan. There's no Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn profile, no Google search hits other than the Joint Blog and other places that repeated what the Joint Blog said. So another story that the Joint Blog published was when President Trump announced he'd picked Neil Gorsuch for the Supreme Court, they published a post that talked to a former student of the judges at University of Colorado who reported that Judge Gorsuch supports letting states implement legalization. He states rights on marijuana as one problem. The student, whose name was supposedly Michael Bly, doesn't exist. at least according to the University of Colorado, whose registrar's office said, quote, "We have no record of this person," end quote. Now, editor-in-chief Anthony Martinelli from the Joint blog says the reason there's no evidence of these two people is because the site agrees to use pseudonyms for both writers. But that's kind of weird, because if you're breaking national news of that level, it's not the kind of thing that you tend to want to keep hidden. But Martinelli says that these are real people, they're graduate students, they have day jobs, and they're worried about conflict. For his part, Martinelli says, as far as Spicer's denial, quote, "I'm not really sure what to say about that. Either he's lying, misremembering, or my reporter is. I will look into it further, and if I find any evidence the information provided me was fabricated, I will immediately retract the article." However, the Joint blog did not retract the article they had posted on the federal study will pay you $3,000 a week to consume cannabis. This is the old, you know, NASA's going to pay you $3,000 to smoke pot article. That was fake news. They didn't take it down. They just added a disclaimer. It's like, this is fake news. This is just fake. But they left it on the site to generate ad revenue and clicks. So there you go. The Joint blog called out as fake marijuana news.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Nearly 85% of meth labs are found with the help of informants and concerned citizens. The rest find us. Learn more at drugfree.org/meth.
This has been the Russ Belville Show's anti-drug public service announcement of the day, exclusively on RadicalRust.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Victory over drugs is our cause, a just cause.
All right, maybe you're high too.
July 1st, 2015, adult marijuana prohibition came to an end in Oregon. Immediately, over 400,000 adults who consume cannabis responsibly were no longer criminals. This is what freedom sounds like. Brought to you by Portland Normal.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here?
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 9:30 after the hour. Another piece of great reporting from Tom Angel out there at Massroots on Trump's Secretary of Health and Human Services. That would be Tom Price, who was confirmed. Tom Price is a representative, is he from Georgia, I think? Who has a lengthy voting record against any sort of marijuana reform that's crossed the federal Congress. He who's against the state's rights for medical marijuana, is against the CARES Act, any of those kind of things. It has to do with marijuana. He's against it. Well, Senator Elizabeth Warren decided that she would ask a couple of questions. Let's find out what Tom Price thinks about this, right? So here were, this was from Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat of Massachusetts, a couple of questions. This was an excerpt from her letter with the questions. Here we go. Medical marijuana has the potential to mitigate the effects of the opioid crisis. A 2014 Journal of the American Medical Association Internal Medicine Study, for example, found that the fatal opioid overdose rate was 25% lower in states that allow for the use of medical marijuana than in states that do not. So, as Health and Human Services Secretary, what would you do to further study this potential alternative? And are you committed to implementing evidence-based policies regarding its use? And so the answer to those questions from Tom Price, Secretary of Health and Human Services, the guy who would oversee any sort of FDA approval of studying of marijuana or any sort of policy to reschedule marijuana, ignored the questions. Just didn't answer them. In fact, didn't respond to any of the queries in Elizabeth Warren's 20-page letter. Now, he voted six times. This is Tom Price, voted six times against House floor amendments to prevent the Department of Justice from interfering with state medical marijuana laws. He voted against three amendments that would have allowed military veterans to receive medical marijuana recommendations from Department of Veterans Affairs doctors. And he voted against a measure to protect all state marijuana laws, including ones allowing recreational use, from federal harassment. However, he has been in support of protecting CBD extracts from federal interference and to let states implement industrial hemp. So as long as the cannabis doesn't get you high in any way, Tom Price doesn't seem to have a problem with it. But the rest of that, no good. Also, want to give you an update. We were talking in the last hour about Trump, President Trump's return to drug war rhetoric and some of his executive orders. The House is following along with the direction from the president. And this has to do with a joint resolution out of the House. This is HJR Resolution 42 by Representative Brady of Texas and 25 co-sponsors. And it is a resolution disapproving the rule submitted by the Department of Labor relating to drug testing of unemployment compensation applicants. Excuse me. So what's going on here is that the Obama administration had changed the rules of drug testing, federal drug testing rules. It was the Employment and Training Administration's Federal State Unemployment Compensation Program, Middle Class Tax Relief and Job Creation Act of 2012, and it was a provision on establishing appropriate occupations for drug testing of unemployment compensation applicants. Basically, it was saying, if you're going to go get unemployment, the states can't implement drug testing for unemployment except for these certain occupations, you know, safety sensitive, Department of Transportation driving license kind of stuff, right? But not just anybody, because there's a lot of states out there that want to implement drug testing for unemployment. Well, this resolution would nullify those provisions. Basically, it would take the Obama administration's idea of restricting unemployment drug testing only to the safety sensitive jobs and toss it out the window and give the states the green light to go ahead and set up their laws that would drug test anybody who applies for unemployment. Now, this is a pernicious and terrible trend that we're seeing in the states of these legislators that are pushing for drug testing for unemployment. And one of the battle cries of the people supporting these measures is,
well, if I have to get drug tested to get a job, they should have to get drug tested to get unemployment.
It's this idea that Well, if we're trying to get them jobs, eventually they're going to have to drug test on the job, so we'll drug test them for unemployment to get them ready to drug test to get on the job. Here's the problem with that. Drug testing is wrong. You shouldn't have to drug test to get a job. The solution to your oppression is not to go oppress other people in a weaker position than you. You shouldn't have to drug test. We shouldn't be spreading drug tests to more people. We should be reducing and eliminating who gets drug tested. Furthermore, we find that these drug tests for these people, we've seen it when they drug test for welfare, we've seen it when they drug test for any sort of benefits, that these people usually turn up with lower failure rates than the general public. You know why? I'll tell you a secret. Drugs cost money. If you're unemployed, if you're on welfare, you don't have the money to buy drugs. I know these people have this idea that, oh, you're going to be so terribly addicted that you're going to waste all your rent money and your kids' school clothes money on drugs. Well, we know that drug testing mostly catches people on pot. People that are on heroin or cocaine or methamphetamine, they can be clean for a day or two and not test positive. So you're catching mostly marijuana smokers, and marijuana is not the kind of drug that leads people to doing desperate things when they don't have it. So you end up wasting the money. And then if someone needs, first of all, let's also understand that unemployment's not a benefit. It's not welfare. It's not taking from someone else. Unemployment is an insurance that we pay into. We pay into unemployment through deductions from our paychecks, from the taxes that are taken out. We contribute to our own unemployment insurance. So to take that away on the basis of a failed drug test is basically to steal all of the benefit money that people have put in for that rainy day when they might become unemployed. And of course, if you deny someone their unemployment insurance, they're more likely to lose their car, lose their home, become homeless, and it's even harder for them to get another job. What good are we going to do by denying someone their unemployment benefits if they test dirty on a drug test? And let's also consider, like we mentioned in all these crime lab cases and drug test cases, that drug tests are not perfect. They do come up with false positives. So now you may be denying someone the benefit that they accrued by paying into it based on a false positive? It's a bad direction this country's going in. And I just bristle every time I hear someone that, well, if I have to take a test for my job, you should have to take a drug test to get unemployment. You should have to take a drug test to get welfare. People just, this need to want to punish people who are at the lowest ends of the economic spectrum, who already have enough problems in their lives, just sickens me. All right, we're also going to talk about a state marijuana reform roundup. We got a list of all the states that are currently working on marijuana reform. We'll get that out to you. Also wanted to point out our schedule may be a little hectic this week because this week I've got two different events in two different cities to deal with. Tomorrow, there is a testimony going on in Salem, Oregon on a bill that would protect the workplace rights of cannabis consumers. It basically add cannabis to our law that says you can't discriminate against people who smoke cigarettes. So I may head to Salem tomorrow to testify on that. And if I do, I'll probably not be doing a live show tomorrow. On Wednesday and Thursday, it is the Cannabis Collaborative Conference taking place here in Portland. And I'm going to try to do live coverage from the CCC. It might be audio only. So we'll see about that. I'll keep you posted. And then on Friday, I'll be in San Francisco covering the International Cannabis Business Conference. It's going to be a great conference there. They got John Sally, Henry Rollins, Tommy Chong, and Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom. So that'll be in San Francisco on Friday. And again, we'll try streaming live from there as well. But as always, these events that are remote events may be audio only because we're usually dealing with not the best internet connections in the world. Kind of usually a shared Wi-Fi system.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
All right, that sound means it's time for our mandatory, union-mandated safety meeting. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll get that state marijuana reform roundup for you. Also, Project Sam's first paid lobbyist in the tiny state of Rhode Island, even. All that and more coming up.
The International Cannabis Business Conference comes to San Francisco, California on February 16th and 17th, 2017. The ICBC San Francisco, Northern California's first business-to-business event since the recent historic election, will bring together top state regulators and industry leaders to discuss permits, business models, and opportunities within the newly enacted laws and landscape. Of course, the ICBC also famously offers some of the best cannabis industry networking, leveraging our worldwide following to connect wholesalers, brands, distributors, investors, and strategic partners. And don't forget to come early for our VIP reception and stay late for our legendary after party. Join us for the longest continuously running cannabis business conference in California at the Hilton San Francisco Union Square, the one and only International Cannabis Business Conference. Visit internationalcbc.com for tickets today.
You're listening to The Russ Belville Show.
I drank beer heavily and tried drugs enthusiastically.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Hey, this is great, man.
A public service message from The Russ Belville Show. Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Hope you had a great safety briefing. Quick shout out to our friend Tom Angel out there at MarijuanaMajority.com, who's now the managing editor for Mass Roots blog out of MassRoots.com. Has been doing great reporting, great work for years and years, and now he's come up with a marijuana newsletter called Marijuana Moment. I've always joked that, I keep joking with him that Marijuana Moment sounds like a new flavor from Celestial Seasonings tea. New from Celestial Seasonings, Marijuana Moment. The tea that relaxes with the soothing flavor of cannabis. But Marijuana Moment is actually the name of his awesome marijuana newsletter. You can get it in your email. I'm not sure how you get it. Yeah, maybe there's a subscription at MassRoots, but if not, if you would like to get a subscription to the Marijuana Moment newsletter and every morning begin your day with the latest news, send me an email, radicalruss@gmail.com, or you can tweet out at Tom Angel, which is at Tom Angel with two L's, A-N-G-L-L. And I'm sure he'll put out or get back to you how to subscribe to the newsletter. It's great. It's fantastic. So from his newsletter, I wanted to bring you the roundup of the states and what's going on with marijuana reform at the state level. In Colorado, Governor John Hickenlooper is going to testify before the California State Governance and Finance Committee on Tuesday about his state's experience with implementing marijuana legalization. Who knows what he's going to say? Sometimes he shows up in public and says, well, it didn't go so bad, or I think it's been successful, or we're doing okay. And then other times, oh, it was a mistake. We shouldn't have done it. I think generally he's good for our side, so we'll see how that works. In Washington State, Governor Jay Inslee has a plan to defend any possible anti-legalization attacks by the Trump administration, saying, quote, after the election, Nick Brown, the general counsel to Governor Inslee, the Washington governor, put together a group to plan the state's defense if the new president demanded that Washington State turn over personal information on the state's immigrants, conducted raids of undocumented people, or sought to criminalize its legal marijuana market, or affect the state's healthcare exchange operated as part of the Affordable Care Act, end quote. So it sounds like they're planning for all sorts of attacks on Washington state policy, but nice to see marijuana policy there among immigration and Obamacare. On Twitter, in a Q&A session with Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf, he reiterated his support for decriminalizing marijuana, saying he will continue to study full legalization's implementation in Colorado and the other states. In Tennessee, the Republican governor, Bill Haslam, says he's keeping an open mind about pending medical marijuana legislation, but indicated he is sympathetic to concerns voiced in opposition by law enforcement. That's just such a... It kills me every time medical marijuana comes up in a state and law enforcement has something to say about it. First of all, you're not doctors. You did not go to medical school. You have no valid opinion on the medical use of cannabis. But that's not what they're worried about. They worry medical cannabis is going to affect their ability to bust people for recreational cannabis. That's why they're there. So consider what that means. That means cops are showing up to say, well, look, cancer patient, AIDS patient, MS patient, we can't let you have any of that marijuana to help your condition. Because if we did, why, we couldn't stop people from getting high. So I'm afraid you're just going to have to suffer in pain and spasms and lack of appetite and nausea. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice if you could be healed and all, but I'm afraid you're just going to, because that's bad. I understand the whole chemotherapy puking and the AIDS wasting away and the MS pain and spasticity. Yeah, that's bad. But my God, do you want to see kids smoking pot? And so it kills me when they have that stand because it's like, dudes, look around. Kids are smoking pot now. People are smoking pot now. You've had it completely illegal for 40 years. You've had the entire force of the state and federal governments trying to stop people from smoking pot, and yet more people are smoking pot. So you're not stopping it. How in the hell is making it medical going to make your situation any worse? All right, what else do we got here in the state roundup? The Arkansas House of Representatives voted 89-1 to approve legislation aimed at preventing medical marijuana advertising and packaging that could appeal to children.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Yeah, okay, so Arkansas, you know, has one of these medical marijuana laws that has no home grow, dispensary only, and they're not going to allow you to, I think they're going to allow whole plant there, aren't they? But anyway, it's already going to be pretty damn medicalized, but we got to make sure that it doesn't appeal to the children. What this appeal to the children thing usually means is gummy bears. You can't make candy or cookies or anything that a kid might like. And all this ends up doing is reducing the number of choices patients have for no real good reason. The way to protect the children is through good parenting, locking up your meds, childproof containers, good packaging and labeling, not by banning. In Nevada, their Supreme Court issued an order reminding lawyers that marijuana is still illegal under federal law and that working in the marijuana industry can trigger disciplinary action. It's weird how all the different states are dealing with this in their legal community. Here in Oregon, my friend Leland Berger, one of the great attorneys here in the state, helped to co-found the first cannabis arm of the Oregon State Bar. As far as the Oregon State Bar is concerned, hey, you know, this is legal under Oregon law. No ethics problems, no violations. Go for it. Nevada's got a different idea, I guess. So, What this ends up doing is ends up frightening lawyers away from wanting to advise their marijuana clients. It just puts kind of a chilling effect on their ability to counsel. And so you end up with these marijuana entrepreneurs, which in Nevada, in Vegas, and so forth, is going to be a monster industry. You have these people going in kind of ill-prepared, not well legally defended or structured, if you want to scare the attorneys away. So big problem there. In Vermont, their House Judiciary Committee will hold 3 days of hearings and discussions on a non-commercial marijuana legalization bill. Okay, so a non-commercial marijuana legalization. This is something I think we're going to see rolling out as the states begin legalizing through their legislatures rather than through initiatives. Project SAM, all these anti-legalization people, they know they've lost the battle on legalization. And so they've retooled their offensive and their framing to be against a new big tobacco. They want to make sure that the marijuana that becomes legal just becomes really just decriminalized, and that there is no legal commerce in marijuana. They want to see, at their worst case scenario, is a Washington, D.C. grow and give system where people can grow marijuana, they can have marijuana, they can share it with one another, but there's no pot shops, there's no commercial grows. I haven't taken a look at the Vermont bill that's being considered, but that non-commercial marijuana legalization would go along the lines of what the Rand Corporation studied up there in Vermont, where they suggested things like nonprofit operations, state-run marijuana stores, a collective system like you might have in Spain, for example. I think we're going to see more and more of those. I think we're going to see non-commercial marijuana operations. In Maryland, delegates introduced a constitutional amendment to legalize marijuana. Very nice. Constitutional amendments are always nice because then they are somewhat immune to the legislature tampering with them, as like what we're seeing in Maine, where their legislature wants to gut what they passed for legalization there. In New Mexico, a marijuana legalization bill appears to be stalled in the Senate Judiciary Committee. California regulators are accepting applications from people who want to serve on an advisory committee to help inform the implementation of marijuana legalization. There you go. Californians listening, you go ahead and apply and get on the board, let me know. And the Providence Journal takes a look at the many moneyed interests that are hiring lobbyists to shape the possible legalization of marijuana in Rhode Island, which brings us to the big story in the state reform, and that is Project SAM. Now, Rhode Island has long been considered a place where marijuana might be first legalized by a state legislature. Rhode Island doesn't have the initiative process, so it would have to go through their state legislature, but they've always been pretty receptive to marijuana reform efforts, and most of the organizations, MPP and others, have long looked at Rhode Island as one that could break through the wall and be the first legislature to legalize. Because of that, they're now getting all sorts of lobbyists involved. The state does have a medical marijuana industry, so their lobbyists, of course, are involved. But this report from the I think it's Providence Journal, Providence, Rhode Island. Let me just read from this. New anti-legalization forces are also bringing in lobbyists. Former state senator John J. Tassoni Jr. is the new $1,750 a month lobbyist for the Alexandria, Virginia-based anti-legalization group Smart Approaches to Marijuana, or SAM, group co-founded by former U.S. Rep. Patrick Kennedy. Again, Kennedy was a rep from Rhode Island, uses the tagline, "Preventing Another Big Tobacco." SAM has had a major presence in states with serious legalization drives, including Massachusetts. The group counts the defeat of last year's legalization push in Vermont's legislature, among its victories. Kevin Sabet, the president and CEO who co-founded the group with Kennedy in 2013, said SAM has done prevention work in Rhode Island, but it's the first time they've registered a lobbyist. They were approached by a group of concerned parents, prevention advocates, and local and state law enforcement who wanted an amplified opposition presence this year, particularly given legalization in Massachusetts and Maine, Sabet said. So there you go, folks. We've got a lobbyist coming in that is paid $1,750 a month to fight marijuana legalization in the Ocean State, in Rhode Island, on the behest of parents, big rehab, and law enforcement. Okay, well, not surprising. Not surprising at all. Project Sam is basically the big rehab lobbying organization. They are the big... All this stuff they talk about preventing another big tobacco or their worry about marijuana, is really a subterfuge. It's hiding their true agenda, which is to protect the rehab industry. If you look at their board members, many of their board members are part of big rehab companies or hospitals or universities in the rehab market there. And they know that without coerced marijuana offenders forced by drug courts to go to rehab, which is half of them go into rehab for marijuana, their business model suffers. That's what they're fighting.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Okay, well, maybe you're high, too.
According to the U.S. atomic clock, we are 1 minute away from legal marijuana in Washington State.
All right, all my friends out there in the chat room, thank you so much for being a part of this show. I wouldn't be here in Seattle for this history-making event if it wasn't for you and all of the donations and all the sponsorships and all the support and telling all your friends, thank you so much. This is a dream come true. I can't believe this is my job, and it's the best job.
30 seconds! 30 seconds!
All right, folks. Are we ready for legalization out there? I think we're ready for legalization. We are just about ready. All right, 15 seconds to go. Can you feel the legalization in the air? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy Legalization Day!
Pod 2.0.
This is not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 38 after the hour. Great story from one of our Oregon newspapers, Ben Bulletin, reporting on marijuana athlete sponsorships. It opens up with a look at John Spriggs. He's a snow sport athlete. He's a freestyle skier, a backcountry skier, a rock climber, and a fly fisherman. Competes in slopestyle, halfpipe, and big air contests at the U.S. Free Skiing Open and at the X Games. So Spriggs, who's age 28, has joined the ranks of professional athletes, most of them in snow sports, who have sponsorship and endorsement contracts with marijuana companies. So Spriggs is already sponsored by Scott, which makes ski goggles, and MoPros, they make snowmobile racks, and Montucky Cold Snacks, which is a brewery in Bozeman, Montana. And now he's got sponsorship and endorsement with Oregrown Industries Incorporated in Bend. He was at the Oregrown shop on February 7th saying, quote, "I felt it was perfect fit for me to be part of something I really believe in. They can really help me out. And through what I do, the lifestyle I live, where I'm fly fishing all summer and rock climbing at Smith Rock and doing a lot of different things, I can help push that lifestyle connection with cannabis." So this is great. We're becoming a little more mainstream. I mean, we're not to the point yet of, you know, a Michael Jordan commercial for weed, but happen to know the folks at Oregrown. Aviv Hadar, owner there, CEO, sponsored my Kevin Sabet Oregon tour when he came here in 2014 to try to scare people into voting against legalization. He provided the funds I needed to get a rental car and travel across the state to follow Kevin Sabet and document what he was doing. So he's always been one to kind of push the limits and be helpful when it comes to the marijuana industry and marijuana mainstreaming. Now, of course, snow sports culture is kind of a natural fit for weed, right? If there was going to be weed endorsements, this is where you'd expect it. The ski slopes, the snowboarders have long been involved with weed, going all the way back to 1992 and Ross Rabagliotti, the first Olympic medalist, gold medalist in snowboard, who lost his medal temporarily for his use of marijuana. So it kind of fits when it comes to snow sports. The athletic image, too, is something that helps us out, right? Because, you know, for so long we've been placed in that stereotype of sitting on the couch and being lazy and fat, and it's turning out not to be true. Not just these, you know, these snow sports guys, rock climbers, X Games, BMXers, motorbikers have always been involved with marijuana. We're finding now more of the mainstream pro athletes have been involved with marijuana. They have to keep it on the down low. UFC fighter, the Diaz brothers, other UFC fighters have been honest and open about their use of marijuana. So it's becoming more associated with athletes, especially when you find so many of the athletes that get busted are these high-performing players, guys that are going to go in the first round of the draft coming out of college that get popped, guys that are record setters when it comes to their position, guys that are catching the winning catches in Super Bowls that get popped for weed. So that's starting to help diminish that stereotype. And I think really the lazy stoner stereotype got its death blow when the Michael Phelps bong photo came out. Up till then, you could make the case that marijuana makes you lazy, and people could say, oh, no, it doesn't. And you could say, oh, Barack Obama smoked pot, or Bill Clinton smoked pot, or, you know, all these other people smoked pot. And the answer could always be, yeah, but they don't now, right? They don't now. With Michael Phelps, that blew that right out of the water. Here's a guy that had just won gold medals and is widely considered the best athlete of all time at what he does. And that's a big old bong he's smoking out of in that photo. That ain't a newbie. That's somebody with some experience. So that, I think that was the death blow for the lazy stoner stereotype. And more as these athletes come out in support of marijuana use, it continues to bury that stereotype. And it's getting backed up by all sorts of studies. We have studies now showing that cannabis consumers tend to have a lower body mass index than their non-smoking counterparts. They're thinner. They're in better shape generally. They have less incidences of head and neck and lung cancer and of diabetes and of Alzheimer's disease, all sorts of things. So this is, getting this these athletes now, these X Games types of athletes involved with marijuana, that's just fantastic news. The other thing about this is that the marijuana companies get the benefit as well, in that we're seen as being just another company. Like we mentioned, Spriggs has an endorsement from a brewery. And so many of these athletes have some sort of deal with Budweiser or Coors or Miller or whatever it might be. So there's no logical reason why marijuana shouldn't also be available as a sponsorship opportunity. Of course, in the mainstream sports, we're going to hear the what about the children, and we don't want to send a bad message to the kids and all that kind of stuff. What kind of message are we sending them with the alcohol sponsorships and the constant alcohol ads during our sporting events? We're sending them the message that alcohol is a normal part of life and some adults enjoy it and they can have fun, but they should be responsible about it. Why can't that be the message with marijuana? See, this is the thing, is that too many parents, too many prohibitionists and Puritans have this idea that just say no is somehow a message. It's not. It's an order to avoid inquiry. It's an order to dismiss something rather than to understand it. That was the failure of Just Say No. That was the failure of our 1980s drugs policy, was this idea that if there were drugs and kids were curious about them or had an opportunity to learn more about them, they should just reject it. They should just say no. That makes the drugs even more mysterious and alluring, doesn't it? That it's now not just forbidden fruit by law, but forbidden fruit in action by culture. It's a non-working strategy. We've proven it not to work, and yet we have an attorney general now, an attorney general who thinks that the 1980s Just Say No era was a good thing.
I know it seems like such a simple message, Just Say No, but it's an important one.
A great accomplishment. We moved this country from 50% of high school seniors using a drug, marijuana or other drug, to less than half that.
Nancy Reagan, the early 1980s, formed the...
So that's Jeff Sessions in some of his Senate speeches and his committee hearings, who over and over expressed an admiration for the Just Say No era, a belief that it had really, really worked, that it was the right way to go about doing things. And I really fear that's the direction we're headed with this administration. That's what they want to see happen in this country. Now, let me get you to a good news story before we end this segment. So, Iowa State University has a normal chapter. And the kids there at Iowa State decided they wanted to make some normal swag t-shirts for their group. And in doing so, they incorporated some of the logos from Iowa State University. And Iowa State did not like that. So generally, when a student group forms at Iowa State, they use ISU, Iowa State, the logo, the cyclone, all that kind of stuff. The decisions are made by the school's trademark licensing office. And when Normal ISU first formed in 2012, they requested approval of a t-shirt that said, "Freedom is Normal at ISU," and with a small cannabis leaf on it. And they initially approved it. Then, after it was reported in the Des Moines Register that they had formed their chapter, the Iowa House Republicans sent a letter to ISU asking whether they actually approved the normal t-shirt. And the next day, they revoked their permission, put a hold on any sort of new normal items from them. From there on, quote, "The trademark office rejected every normal ISU design application that included the image of a cannabis leaf," end quote. "They rejected designs that spelled out the normal acronym but replaced marijuana with either M star 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 or M censored. They even took the word marijuana off their shirts, and they wouldn't approve that. They did approve designs that didn't use a cannabis leaf, but simply stated the group's name and fully spelled out the normal acronym. So, okay. So they filed a lawsuit. Normal ISU students filed a lawsuit against their university, alleging violations of their First Amendment rights. The U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Iowa initially ruled in favor of the students. The university appealed. On Monday, the appeals court affirmed the district court's ruling, concluding that students, quote, attempts to obtain approval to use ISU trademarks on normal ISU merchandise normal ISU merchandise amounted to constitutionally protected speech, end quote. And state schools cannot discriminate against constitutionally protected speech on the basis of its viewpoint without proving that this restriction serves a compelling governmental interest and is narrowly tailored to serve that interest. So in this case, Iowa State's rejection of the normal ISU designs did discriminate based on viewpoint, the court found, and this discrimination was based on political pushback from the Iowa House Republicans. Therefore, quote, the district court did not err by concluding that ISU violated plaintiffs' First Amendment rights because defendants engaged in viewpoint discrimination and did not argue that their administration of the trademark licensing program was narrowly tailored to satisfy a compelling government interest. So, hooray, we get a victory for the First Amendment for college students in a college normal chapter. You know, I was Normal's outreach coordinator when the kids at University of Georgia tried to do the same thing, tried to put together some normal shirts that use the Georgia arches in a logo, and the university rejected them, and they sued, and they won, and sorry, universities, you're going to have to let the students talk about and display weed. Sorry. The First Amendment even applies to us potheads. What do you know? All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we got one last little segment on mandatory premarital drug testing in Saudi Arabia. All right.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Marijuana is three times stronger than it was in the 1980s.
All right. Well, maybe you're high, too.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Is this right?
Just try not to drool quite so much on the end of it.
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show. Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on cannabisradio.com.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. Just winding things up here at Delta 9 Studios. Again, tomorrow I might be in Salem testifying for this bill in Oregon, but I might not, so I'm not sure if there'll be a show tomorrow. Follow my Twitter account, at Radical Russ, and I'll make sure you know it's as soon as I've got my schedule. I should know later tonight whether or not that's happening, because I got to get a ride down to Salem if it's going to happen. Wanted to go to our phone lines at 650-LEGAL-MJ, where we got a call last Friday,
And let's hear from this particular listener from the 813 area code.
Hey, Russ, this is Overgrow'em. A couple of things that I've been thinking about. I'd like to hear you do a show on... lost my thought train. Well, I do want to say, though, that your show yesterday was one of the best shows I've ever heard you do. That was very entertaining. Just for your information, poker was an $8 billion business in the U.S. when they passed a law against it in the Ports Bill, and basically they just shucked it, so cannabis shouldn't think too highly of themselves as far as money goes. Where they can do their stuff is if they can hang together is the political situation.
That's a good point. You know, online poker, I believe, is what he's talking about. Like you said, about an $8 billion a year business. And yeah, federal government worked pretty hard to shut that down.
Take the states' rights, senators, and any state that has legal and medical MJ, they basically could play a little hardball and could keep the Senate from doing anything that would actually make the Senate and the House pass bills that would keep Sessions and he's keep the muzzle on him, you might say. I think they're going to come to their senses. It takes somebody. Sessions is throwing a snake into a crowd. They're going to come to their senses and start voting the other way on some of these bills and keep the AGs and the DEA and everything off people's backs and get some things done.
Thank you for your call. Appreciate that call. And that phone line is open 24 hours a day, so you can dial in and leave a message if you'd like to have your message or your questions played back here on the show. Real quick before we go, a story on talkingdrugs.org calls for mandatory premarital drug testing for men in Saudi Arabia. Okay, so there's a call now. First of all, in October of 2016, I did not know this. Last October, a new measure was introduced that required all foreign men to undergo drug testing prior to marrying Saudi women. It was decreed by the king. Marriage applications are denied to any male foreigner who tests positive for the use of any drug that's illegal in the kingdom, including alcohol. Remember, Saudi Arabia is a Muslim country. No alcohol either. You fail that test, you can't get married. Well, foreigners make up about one-third of the population of Saudi Arabia, and foreign women who seek to marry Saudi men aren't required to take the drug test. Okay. Now, the change they're proposing is to expand that, not just to the one-third of the population that are foreigners, but to all Saudis. And they claim that this would protect women because drug use harms traditional family values. And they say, quote, "We cannot blame women who request divorce from their husbands due to drug use," end quote. Which... that's a pretty amazing statement coming from a country that doesn't let women drive, that doesn't let women leave the house without a male escort. Wow. Drug testing to marry a Saudi woman. All right. Well, folks, that sound means that we are out of time for today. Time flies when you legalize. Thanks, each and every one of you, for joining us here live on RadicalRust.com. Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific time. We'll be back tomorrow, I think, with more news, interviews you can use for the cannabis community. Follow me at RadicalRust on Twitter to be sure. For everyone here at Delta 9 Studios, I'm Radical Russ, and you're not. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank you for being the cannabis crusader out there. You're a trusted voice in the industry, so keep doing what you do. I really appreciate it.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere.